The content of this program is intended for a blind and impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine 2018 edition. And last week, we stopped at Money and Power, Generational Wealth. So let's go ahead and finish up this article. Such ways how to keep your money in the family. So far we've covered how to create a solid cushion, such as prioritizing your retirement with such things like 401k, knowing your numbers when it comes to like how much debt you're in, involve your children by making sure that your children start saving at early ages, such as a piggy bank, and then use your insurance. And this is where you can transfer well through life insurance. You can protect yourself also with long-term care insurance. And then plan for disability. No one wants to go on disability, and no one expects to go on disability, but in certain instances, there may be conditions that would lead to disability where you're unable to work. So talks about disability insurances, and then boost your bottom line. This is where you can educate yourself, such as for home ownership, improving your credit score, and then also considering home down payment assistance. And then where we left off at was construct wealth with entrepreneurship. And this is where Black women should follow in footsteps of African-American female pioneers like Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker, each of whom built empires creating solutions for Black women's hair, says Kizia M. Williams. She's the chief executive officer of the Black Upstart, an initiative to train Black biz owners in Washington, D.C. Entrepreneurship is wealth insurance for Black women who aren't interested in convincing corporations to pay them fairly for what their labor is worth. Williams says, these tips can improve your odds of succeeding. Leverage your job. So whether it's money, skills, or a valuable network, there's likely something your current gig can offer that can smooth your way to becoming self-employed. Corporate America allowed me to save and have the financial backing to invest in my own business, Neely says. Look into franchising. It's the best kept secret for building wealth because you do not have to have a lot of money. Depending on the franchise you choose, says Tawanda Bryan, an entrepreneur, coach, and a franchise consultant based in Arnold, Maryland. In fact, according to Bryant, some franchise fees can be as low as $5,000 to $10,000. Another plus for franchises, some entrepreneurs find it easier to get a loan for a franchise because the business model is already proven. Put yourself into a position to borrow. Strive to have a credit score of 680 or higher. Bryant suggests a lender may also want you to have savings in the bank equal to about 10% of the amount you plan to borrow. Move wealth through estate planning. So to ensure that her son is able to benefit from the wealth she has amassed, Neely has established a trust, a legal vehicle that minimizes estate taxes and lets her specify how and when her assets will be distributed. A lot of people think that a trust is just for the wealthy, but it's not, says Neely. It's for anyone with assets that they want protected or preserved. But transferring wealth requires preparation. If you die without any kind of plan, the state that you live in has a plan, says attorney Lori Ann Douglas, a founding partner at Douglas Radmacher, a law firm specializing in estate planning in New York City. That means your assets might end up in the hands of someone unintended, such as an ex-husband or distant relatives you don't know. Here's how to ensure your funds reached the intended recipient. Number one, put your legal documents in place. Once you have assets, create a will, Douglas says. Anyone over 18 should also have a health care proxy and financial power of attorney, which allow you to designate someone to make health and financial decisions if you become incapacitated. Be thoughtful about naming beneficiaries. Make sure that people listed on retirement accounts and life insurance policies as beneficiaries are are the ones you want to inherit your assets. If your circumstances change, such as through divorce or marriage, update your accounts. Seek professional advice. So if you inherit property such as a family house, you may lose it if you fail to pay certain taxes. An estate attorney can help you make sure you fulfill any legal obligations. Building wealth and transferring it to the next generation requires thought, dedication, and planning, but it can transform your family's financial future. Many people of color didn't grow up with trust funds, West says, but we are beginning to create a generation who will be able to start that process. And once it gets started, it continues. So continuing on with money and power, path to power, how I went from bootstrapping my business to securing nearly $8 million in funding. Kashmir Nicole, founder of cosmetics company Beauty Bakery, shares how she built a booming global brand. I always knew I was going to run my own business. As a kid, I was constantly dreaming up different ventures. Money was never the motivator, though. I was drawn to the creativity and freedom that came with being an entrepreneur. In 2011, I launched Beauty Bakery, a line of vegan-friendly cosmetics in bold, flattering hues. I love the art of it all. Makeup is artistry, and of course there's an art to running a business. I was still working a full-time job as a nurse and raising my daughter, who was 10. In those early days, I enjoyed developing the brand, but a year and a half in, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. At 26, I had a double mastectomy followed by reconstruction. There were definitely moments during my recovery when I wanted to stop pursuing my business, but I hadn't given myself a 5-year ultimatum. I could not quit, no matter what happened. But I had given myself a 5-year ultimatum. I could not quit no matter what happened. I could go broke, I could get sick, but I could not give up on Beauty Bakery for 5 years. So I kept going. In the beginning, I was on my own. I taught myself how to build the website. I learned how to use Photoshop to make my own graphics, and I was the one posting on social media to see what would resonate with our followers. By 2015, I had finally found something that hit home. Our red lipstick never comes off and turns, and things started to click. I went from doing 15 orders a month to sales that went through the roof. Before long, orders took over our living room, then the kitchen. I knew I needed to quit my job, but it hadn't occurred to me that even though that wouldn't be enough, I'm from a small town near Gary, Indiana. I didn't know much about fundraising or scaling a company, and I didn't know what help would look like either, since I'd never had it before. But I had retailers who wanted to carry our products. So I hired 3 employees to manage the growth while I started Googling and reaching out to people I thought could help us. I landed my first meetings through a company that's facilitated introductions. It was grueling. The first 4 to 5 conversations, I wasn't prepared. Someone would ask me about my brand, and I'd be all over the place. I was so nervous. I failed to convey important aspects. I went home, regrouped, and practiced concisely articulating who I was and what the brand stood for. After that, I felt more confident about what we were doing and where I knew I could take the company. Instead of going into meetings like, "Do you believe this?" I started to go in like, "You should believe this, or you're going to feel deep regret because we are going places, and either you're going with us or you're not." The key was showing them we could all succeed together. Of course, I never heard back from some investors because maybe they didn't see the value. Sometimes I'd be on the phone with people who didn't even sound as if they were listening. And then those who understood what a great opportunity I was offering. In 2017, I raised $3 million with the largest investor being Unilever Ventures. The past summer, we brought in another $4.6 million, and were now backed by institutional firms and individual investors such as Kenneth Chenault, the former chief executive officer of American Express. I always saw that Beauty Bakery could be this big, but I didn't know how I was going to get here. When it comes to fundraising, you have to know your brand. You have to be confident in how you speak about it, and you have to be honest about where you are and the kind of support you need. Don't try to fake it until you make it. Be the real thing, and then no one can call you out. Let's go ahead and read the cover story, which is Khalees. Let's go ahead and read that cover story. It's titled Stronger Than Pride. From the start of her career, it seemed the pressure to be relevant was a gene Khalees lacked. The unintended consequence was that somehow Khalees always matters. Even as the public rift between her and her ex-husband, Nasir Jones, escalates, the ultimate global beauty maverick and mompreneur won't let the drama steal her hard-earned joy. Khalees Rogers is one brave soul in an airy, unpretentious coffee shop near her home in Los Angeles suburb. The Harlem-born singer talked about matters rare for a public person to reveal with such candor and in such depth. Granted, she has a proverbial axe to grind, a contentious public battle for money, power, respect, and a child support with the father of her 9-year-old son, Knight. Last April, she opened up to Hollywood Unlocked about what she calls her tumultuous and toxic marriage to rapper and ex-husband, Nasir Jones, a.k.a. Nas. She left him while pregnant with her first child. Their family feud has led to no shortage of headlines. Despite all the other exciting chapters of her life, a passionate chef, she attended the prestigious Le Cordon Bleu, bought 2 farms, married a new man, and gave birth to another son, Shepherd, now 2. Still bossy in her unique way, the raspy-voiced, not pop singer, remains an undisputed cult fave, adored by sisters since 1999 when she arrived on the music scene with those Technicolor ringlets and the unforgettable chorus of I Hate You So Much Right Now from her Neptunes-produced hit Caught Out There. The legendary beauty known for her luscious ever-changing hair and avant-garde sense of fashion is an international performer who comes and goes as she pleases, wears what she wants, and records only what speaks to her soul. Her 6th studio album, Food, dropped in 2014, followed by another release, Live in London, and she's currently back in the studio. Today, despite the drama, the 39-year-old is on a divine new path in her clean eating lifestyle and artisanal line of sauces called Bounty and Bull. On where she is right now, Journey Khalees says, I'd reached the point when strength shifts, because for the past 10 years, strength for me was always knowing the truth, but not having to speak it. But today, I know I cannot be torn down. I was built stronger than that. Taking back her voice has fortified her sense of self and amplified her physical space in the world. Scroll through her Instagram feed and see Khalees absolutely glowing. What she doesn't attribute to the peace of mind, she credits to her love of food, self-care, and hair dye. So Essence actually asked her some questions, and she responded to Essence. First question they asked her was, for you, what's the connection between food and beauty? And her response is, I have really dry skin, so moisture is a huge part of what I need. I ask myself, what kinds of things can I be eating? When I got pregnant with Knight and Shepherd, I was reading about stretch marks and how to avoid them. One of the things that kept coming up was antioxidants, which can be found in blackberries and pomegranate. I was like, oh, good, I like that, and I started incorporating them in my diet. I found those things really work, especially as much as I travel. People ask me how come I never get tired. Well, I do get tired, but I'm really big on self-care. Eat a carrot a day. All of us should. Don't peel it, wash it. Eating a carrot a day balances out your hormones such as estrogen, or eat an avocado. The list of freaking habits or freaking benefits an avocado has, it's ridiculous, from curing halitosis to helping to prevent mouth cancer. Do you have indulgences? I do. With my company, Bounty and Full, my motto is more is more. I eat good stuff. So yes, I will have a piece of chocolate cake. I will not skimp though. Either I'll make it or I'm Googling best chocolate cake in LA. I don't have any guilty pleasures because I don't feel guilty about my life. You just have to find your balance. I'm not going to be miserable because I love food so much. I'm going to eat a delicious piece of bread. Maybe not every day, but there will be a point when I have something indulgent and I'm going to savor it. I love that. I think food is so sensual. You love color, Khalees. We absolutely know this about you. What do certain colors mean? Blue, green? Here's what I'll say. The very first time I dyed my hair a color, I remember being so surprised at people's reaction. Mind you, this is in 1996 or 97. So I had this big fluffy pink hair and men treated me differently. It was a gendered reaction. Men would break their necks, would open doors, pick up bags. Even children responded to me differently. I was like a cartoon character. People didn't color their hair then. So it was like, whoa. When you first saw it, and I was black, so it was double whoa. But I noticed immediately, as soon as I changed my hair to green, that the world became unkind and completely different. I did this dark green. As soon as I did that, it was like, she's a witch? Yeah. Like, it's creepy or she's weird. It's funny. Color is powerful. Even now with Bounty and Fool and our Brandon, we think a lot about food colors. Certain colors that appear naturally. Your brain tells you something about color that makes something look more appealing, more delicious. But then I think about blue. Well, first of all, there is no color that is off limits for me. We're black. We're blessed. There are not a lot of colors that don't look good on us. Let's be fair. So I don't have that. I can't wear this color thing. Yeah, I can. It's going to be fine like everything else on my fantastic brown face. Let's go back a bit. After your marriage to Nas ended in 2010, you took a break from the spotlight as an artist. Why? Honestly, anyone who knows me knows I can take fame or leave it. Real talk. I can walk away from all this and never look back. Being famous was never validated or has never validated me, ever. I've never cared if people liked me or didn't like me. Either way, I'm cool. You hadn't completely stopped performing. How do you approach it now? I like the fact that I can walk around in the streets and no one knows who I am. And yet I get on stage that same night and it's like 30,000 people screaming my name. For me, I found this perfect sweet spot. I can't afford to be any more famous than I am. That'll mess up my whole situation. I don't want no more. In April, you shared details about your first marriage that you hadn't revealed before. How were you able to cope emotionally during that time? I've made a lot of mistakes, but when it comes to my parenting, I'm a good mom. There's no one who would look at me and say she's not about her business. My kids come first, always. Look at them. They're polite. They're funny. They're smart. They're God-fearing. They are who they are supposed to be. You can say all the stuff you want to say, but that's called nurturing. For years, you didn't publicly share certain parts of your life. How did you cope emotionally? I realized that the only thing that I could be sane, or the only way I could be sane, knowing what I know and having been quiet for so long, was to really work on myself. You know what I mean? You're either going to completely lose it, or you're going to have to pull yourself together. There's no middle ground. You can't just coast through. I think as women, we are so taken for granted. We are like vaults. We are secret keepers. We have the ability to love the unlovable. But there comes a point when you have to flip what strength means. Along this journey to personal freedom, it seems you have begun reinventing your life. In fact, you and your husband, Mike Mora, recently bought a farm. Yes, I'm a farmer, and it's pretty incredible, actually. Right now, we have a farm in Colombia, South America. My husband is from there, where we are growing and selling tomatoes. I want to grow coffee. We have to prepare the land. It takes about 2 years to harvest the coffee. So we have tomatoes, and we are starting squash. We have about 10 acres that we are working with right now, but it's about 22 in total. And then I'm currently in the process permit here in California. It's the bane of my existence right now of getting our farm in Malibu. And people don't want us there, to be real. 37 acres right now, and there is an easement that we are working on. So it will be 40 when it's done. It's ironic because it's my 40 acres and I bought it. I used it to be in equestrian school. So there were all these crazy thoroughbred horses on the property. I laugh because I love Spike, but I've got 40 acres and a stallion. So that's the plan. I'm a farmer. Last question from Essence is, you're also expanding Bounty and Fool into a lifestyle brand and introducing new sauces. What jumpstarted your choice to become a chef after being a rock star? And her response is, one of the biggest things I always reiterate is self-care. The only way you are really ever going to be truly content is if you are constantly evolving, not at anyone else's pace, but for you. What do you want to do? What else can you put your hands on? You can literally be anything. When I was growing up, my mom always said, nurture your natural talent and you will always be happy. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be traditional, but whatever you are truly passionate about, whatever you are good at, generally it's when you'll put your time, effort, and creativity. I've always accepted that. I've always understood that. So when I decided to go to culinary school, there was a moment when it was a little scary because it's like I've never done anything like this before except music. This is how you are known. This is how you make your living. What if I suck? But it was game changing for me, I think, because there is such a freedom in it. I make music still because I can, not because I have to. There's something so liberating about that. It infused this sense of worth in me. I know that I can do this. I can do something else. I can completely uproot my life and I will survive. So that's the end of that article. And let's move on. Okay, here's another good one. And this is Que Bella Amara La Negra, the Afro-Dominican singer and reality television star, discusses challenges, colorism, stereotypes, and Latina beauty ideals, because without a doubt, black is beautiful. Afro-Latina visibly has reached new heights thanks in no smart to Diane Daniles de los Santos, better known as Amara La Negra. La Negra. I've always been outspoken, even as a little girl, says La Negra, whose career began at age 4 on the popular Univision variety show Sabado Gigante. Even back then, I used to wonder, why don't I see more people like me on TV? What's wrong with us? Long before she broke out on Love and Hip Hop Miami, La Negra noticed that those who were considered the prototype Latinas looked like Shakira, Jennifer Lopez, Sofia Vergara, and Selma Hayek, all of whom are light skin and straight hair. The media never showcases that in every single Latin country, there are also people who look like me, if not darker, she says. Despite not seeing Negras featured on the covers of magazines, in movies, or on telenovelas, the 28-year-old reality star says she has always acknowledged her own beauty. She credits women like her mother, Ana Alaga, and the late Afro-Cuban singer Celia Cruz for validating her textured fro. Her curvy body and rich dark chocolate skin tone. I wish Celia Cruz could see all of her hard work and everything she stood for. Her charisma, who she was as a person, inspired women like me to love who we are and stand up for the Afro-Latino community, shares La Negra. The Miami native is putting Afro-Latindad on the map with her music career, having signed a multi-album record deal with BMG and Fast Life Entertainment Worldwide earlier this year. The ink wasn't quite dry before the singer's resume grew to including hosting duties on the BET Experience and a stint on the daytime talk show, The Real. Acting gigs, you can catch her alongside Basketball Wives' Tammy Rowland and True to the Game actress Erica Peebles in the upcoming comedy Fall Girls. And writing with the release of her pro self-love children's book, Amarita's Way. I'm an artist. I've always been an artist, La Negra says. It just so happens that I am also an activist, and I'm very passionate and willing to stand up for what I think is right. With the expansion of her platform, we're certain she has only just begun to build a legacy of self-affirmation that will encourage women of African descent for generations to come. And that's Muy Caliente. Oh, let me say it again. And that's Muy Caliente. And we're actually going to stop right here because we've run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope that you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website at triangleradioreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. So long until next time.